So according to one story I'm reading online, the Occupy Los Angeles group has broken into two kinds of groups. One that seems to want a general assembly that sets up committees dealing with, you know, every part of the camp life of the people who are camping down there, with food, research, demands, media, facilitation, sanitation, etc. Then there's another group, I don't know what to call them, the People's Forum, I guess, who don't think there should be any rules at all. This is part of what happens when things are relatively anarchistic. People were complaining to me last week that there were people smoking pot in the Occupy LA camp and that there are homeless people there. And my answer was, well, there's food there. Of course there's going to be homeless people there. Though I see in this article they refer to Skid Row as the center for getting drugs in LA, and somehow I think 99% of the people don't go to Skid Row. So I don't think that's the center of drug activity in Los Angeles, at Skid Row. There may be a lot of drugs there, but I don't think that's the center of drug activity. But they're trying to create the idea that the homeless and the Skid Row and the drug addicts are part of the Occupy LA movement. And that doesn't seem to be true at all, though what I'm also understanding is that the more mainstream elements of labor unions and left-leaning nonprofits or other hierarchical groups are not participating very much in Occupy LA, though the people who I know who are there are finding plenty to talk about, plenty to think about. So I think basically the movement is still getting started. It's getting bigger and bigger all the time, but it's getting started. And finding a way to organize without organization is extremely difficult. Collective thinking is extremely difficult. I'm going through that with Kill Radio. I presented some information that was endangering the collective, and people looking into it just claimed that it wasn't true. And I presented further evidence, and they won't do anything. I won't explain what, but it's gotten me kind of bummed out because I've been here 10 years, been doing this news segment for like 9 of them, and I really care about Kill Radio, but, you know, what? How do you get people to act on something, you know, when they're working collectively? It's a good question, and it's a difficult thing that has to be dealt with, and that's what's happening with the Occupy movement everywhere. I mean, in New York, they had their generators taken away so people can't get their cell phones charged and they can't get any warmth. And it's been raining and storming there and snowing and all that. All very fascinating, but we see the determination of so many people. Anyway, this is the Weekly News and Review. I'm DJ Bennett from the Kill Radio News Team, and this was posted by J. Gabriel Boylan on the 8th of November, 2011. And this does concern the news of the preceding week. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou, I thought his name was Yorgos Papandreou, agreed to step down following a week in which he proposed a referendum on EU measures to save his country's collapsing economy, narrowly won a confidence vote, retracted his referendum proposal, and signed a coalition deal to approve the bailout. "I am not tied to my chair," said Papandreou. Amid sex scandals and corruption allegations and ahead of a key budget vote, Silvio Berlusconi denied rumors that he would step down as Italian prime minister. Berlusconi was also reported to have delayed the release of his Greek folk-influenced album True Love over concerns about the European financial crisis. Available online was the lead track called Music, which begins, "Listen to these songs, they are for you. Listen to them when you have a thirst for caresses. Sing them when you are hungry for tenderness." GOP presidential contender Herman Cain responded to allegations of sexual harassment in front of the National Press Club, saying he would be delighted to clear the air and singing the gospel song, "He Looked Beyond My Faults." Well, Mr. Cain, who has run Godfather's Pizza and other things, doesn't know what it's like to be a politician, because his idea of saying, "Why don't you understand the word no?" is not the answer you give to reporters who are actually doing their job. Currently, I think there are now 7 women have stepped forward to say that they were sexually harassed. Only 2 of them have signed confidentiality agreements, and we've only seen one of them, who was blonde and who was represented by Gloria Allred. At any rate, Herman Cain could easily have gotten ahead of all this just by being really prepared, because evidently back in 2003 he knew about this, but by 2011 it had just slipped out of his memory. Imagine there's no pizza, indeed. Following speculation, Texas Governor Rick Perry might have been drunk or otherwise impaired during a speech he giggled and meandered through in Manchester, New Hampshire. Perry said he'd felt good when he spoke. "This is such a cool state," he said during the speech. "I mean, come on, live free or die, you gotta love that, right? I come from a state where they had this little place called the Alamo and they declared victory or death." You know, we're kind of into those slogans, man. It's like, live free or die, victory or death, bring it! For the second time in 10 years, Republicans in Congress very embarrassingly reaffirmed "In God We Trust" as the national motto. I mean, come on. There's a separation of church and state, and sticking God everywhere doesn't make us more religious. As a matter of fact, statistically, the largest growing group of people in the religious world are the non-religious, especially in the United States. We're now at least 25%, probably, and probably larger, the people who go to church but don't really think about it, except that it's just their duty to go to church. "Is God God?" asked Trent Franks, a Republican of Arizona, during the House debate. "Or is man God?" Well, I think he got it. God is in our heads. God is the unlimited part of our imaginations. God is the human imagination. Anything we can imagine, that's what God is. And that's about it. 2.5 million Muslims began the annual Hajj pilgrimage from the holy city of Mecca to Mount Arafat. An American company introduced RK, the world's first alcohol-free halal whiskey. Alcohol-free whiskey. Boy, that's going to be big. And the offices of the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo were firebombed following its publication of a cover featuring a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad saying, 100 lashes if you're not dying of laughter. Newfoundland Lieutenant Governor John Crosby apologized for telling a joke in which a caller to a suicide hotline in Pakistan is asked whether he can drive a truck. And an Iranian, that's a pretty good joke, actually. And an Iranian judiciary official said that 2 of his country's soccer players accused of inappropriate celebratory behavior after one pressed his hand between the other's buttocks following a goal may be publicly lashed on the field where the incident took place. "When I was playing in Germany," said former national team member Mehdi Madavikia of the groping, "such things happened all the time." Texas State Representative Larry Taylor, Republican, explained the compensation process for windstorm victims by saying, "Don't nitpick, don't try to Jew them down. Oops, that's probably a bad term." After being declared tobacco-free by his physician, President Barack Obama was reportedly observed chewing nicotine gum at the G20 summit in Cannes, while scientists at Columbia University discovered that nicotine causes changes in gene regulation that enhance subsequent responses to cocaine, lending credence to the notion of gateway drugs. "People think it's backed by conservative movements to make a case for making marijuana illegal," said researcher Amir Levine, "when it is simply the sequence of adolescent drug use as found in epidemiological studies." So they're saying that cigarettes lead to marijuana, which leads to cocaine? Or is it just cigarettes lead directly to cocaine? Anyway, former New Jersey Governor John Corzine resigned as head of MF Global, the recently bankrupted securities firm now under investigation by the FBI, with some $600 million in MF Global investors' funds still unaccounted for. Corzine declined a $12 million severance package and instead hired a criminal defense lawyer. Discount service Groupon launched the most successful internet IPO since Google, netting $700 million. Bank of America dropped plans to charge debit card users a $5 monthly fee, but rest assured they'll find another way to get that $5 out of you. You guys should, if you bank at Bank of America, you should be pulling your money out of Bank of America and go to a credit union or something. And a 9-foot-tall, 900-pound, $900,000 statue of Ronald Reagan, that's 999, debuted at the airport named after him in Washington, D.C. Hacker Collective Anonymous threatened the Mexicans' Zeta drug cartel. Kenya tweeted warnings to 9 Somali towns harboring members of the terrorist group Al-Shabaab before launching attacks. And Detroit Lions fans campaigned online for the cancellation of Canadian rock band Nickelback's halftime performance at the team's Thanksgiving game. I wonder why. And PETA sued SeaWorld, claiming the marine park chain is violating the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. According to a PETA spokesperson, performing whales Corky, Kasatka, Katina, Tilikum, and Ulysses are denied freedom and everything else that is natural and important to them while being kept in small concrete tanks and reduced to performing stupid tricks. I have to admit that while I think PETA goes too far on a lot of things, I agree. I don't think that these large performing whales should be kept. I don't think that, I just don't like SeaWorld. I don't like this idea of petting up these large animals and having them do tricks for children. I just don't like that. I think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's good for the animals. But what do I know? Nicholas Modrick and Jamie Hughes of Snellville, Georgia, denied police reports that they had fed LSD to their dog Oscar, who then died after being hit by a car while they were tripping. "When Modrick went outside naked, I went chasing after him," said Hughes. "I think that's when the dog got out. I wonder where they got their LSD. The LSD I know of certainly wouldn't make you get so crazy you'd strip naked and run outside acting like a dog. But then I guess I don't get the best LSD, huh?" Anyway, I'm kidding. This has been the news of the preceding week. I think that's enough for right now. Let's say that, you know, we're letting everything get done that needs to get done. Anyway, that's the news for this week. Please listen to my Chill Room musical program on Friday nights at 11 p.m. here on killradio.org. Now you have a very good week, and I'll see you next week, okay?